This podcast is brought to you by Dinglemount Church. It will open up God's Word to you, inspire you to love God and grow in the knowledge of Him, and challenge you to live a victorious Christian life. Be blessed as you listen.
Encounter His Word again. The scripture reading this morning will be from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll be reading from verses 1. For those who were with us last Sunday, we started on we encountered another image of who we are in the scriptures, and that is the image of a soldier. And Paul picks on that as he speaks to, as he was writing to Timothy. And we've been trying to explore to see what it means for us as Christians and also in the year 2017. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I read from verse 1. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses." He says, "Commit these to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So note that verse of scripture, that's where the emphasis for us is on. You therefore must endure hardship, but it says as a good soldier. So there are good soldiers and there are also bad soldiers. It says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life in order that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." I'll read verse 5 to it. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, we are not looking at that image now yet, but we will come to it. "He is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." We thank God for this verse of scriptures, and we just pray that it will speak to us and bless us once again as we open our hearts to receive all that you have for us this morning. Amen. Last Sunday we started on this sermon series on more or less like continuation of what we've been looking at on our identity as Christians and how we are to conform to the image that God shows us in Scripture. And I think that the first thing that came across to us last Sunday when we looked at it is we saw how we became soldiers in the kingdom of God. As Paul said there, if you look at that verse again in verse 4, it says, "No one engaged in a warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life in order that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." And last Sunday we had to look at that word, enlisting, what it means, how we became soldiers in the first place. Is an image that most Christians don't seem to identify with. You know, we can identify with others in the scripture. I can identify as one who is running a race, as one who goes to sow my seeds, as one, or maybe who is a pilgrim, citizens, and all of that. You know, beautiful imagery that we've got in the scriptures. But when it comes to the soldiers of the kingdom, or soldiers for Christ, there's a lot of confusion about what it means to be soldiers in the kingdom. Like I said, especially in an age where there is a lot of militancy, like Islamic militants, that are going and fighting in the name of their God. And so when we come to this scripture, God saying, "You also are soldiers of the kingdom." You know, it's good for us to understand what it means. What kind of warfare are we involved in? And we saw last Sunday that when we got enlisted, we are not engaged in a natural, so to speak, warfare. Our weapons are warfare, the Bible tells us, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. No wonder why when Paul was writing to the Ephesian Christians, he told them clearly in the book of Ephesians there to put on the whole armor of God. And we saw what the armor is. It's not the guns and knives and clubs and all the things that people fight with in the natural. But he says the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with preparation of the gospel, the sword of the spirit, and he says which is the word of God. So you can see, although there are things that we can learn in the natural from this, from a soldier, but when you translate that over into the realm of the spirit, there are also things that God wants us to see as soldiers of the kingdom. We are involved in a battle. And as long as a Christian have not come to see that he is actually involved in a warfare with a world out there that hates our God, that wants us to stop talking about our God, he raises the question, then on whose side are we on? Where should be our allegiance? The announcement I gave this morning about the prayers or the Muslim call of prayer that was said inside the cathedral, it raises the question of allegiance. Look at what Paul said to Timothy there. He says, "And these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So Paul was careful that the things that he's been taught, he's passed it on to Timothy, and he's saying to him, commit these things to faithful men. Commit these things to those whose allegiance is to God and God alone. What have we been taught? Have we been taught that we can call upon any God in any place at any time? That's not what we've been taught. As Christian soldiers, we know who our commander is. We know whose camp we belong to. And we are not called to sit on the fence. And this is why it's important as we look at this subject today that we are called to be soldiers. But for us this morning, I want us to look at something else. We've looked at how we got enlisted. Now we want to look at how we are enabled as soldiers. We know that in the natural, every soldier is enabled to fight, to do what he's called to do. And that's why for some of them, the Ministry of Defense goes through some kind of review, either to check what kind of weapons they've got, what kind of the conditions under which they are fighting and all of that, just to make sure that they've got everything they need to do what they are called to do. So also for the Christian, there is an enablement that helps us to do what we are called to do. And until we understand how we are enabled to fight as soldiers in the realm of the spirit, like I said, this is not a physical warfare, this is not a natural fight that God has called us to fight. We know who the real enemy is. It's the war, it's the enemy, the devil, and the flesh. These are the things that we constantly wage war against our souls. And so how are we enabled? And for us to understand that, there are three things I just want to share with us this morning on our enablement, how we are enabled. And if we as Christians can understand these three basic truths, it will help us as we go on in our march for the kingdom. And the first thing is to depend on God's grace. And that's the first thing, to depend on God's grace. Because when we talk about enablement, we're saying what helps us do the things that God has called us to do. And I think the place to start from or to start is on the grace of God. Look at what Paul said to Timothy. In verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says to him, "You therefore, my son, be strong." But be strong in what? He didn't say be strong in something else, but he said be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because what Paul is trying to do here is to show Timothy that you have been enabled. And that enablement comes through the grace of God that has been given through Christ Jesus Christ. And that's why he said to him, be strong in that. You cannot be strong in yourself. You cannot be strong in anything else apart from the grace that God has given through Christ Jesus. When we talk about grace, we are talking about, as we say, God's riches as Christ's expense. There's nothing in us that commends this grace, but God, through his mercies, has given us everything that we need. So the moment I lose sight of grace, I'm actually on my way to being defeated. The moment I forget that the strength I have, I'm called to be strong, but in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, then I'm beginning to lose sight of what enables me in this battle. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, because when we say depend on God's grace, we are not saying that we do nothing, because some will see grace as well. If it's grace that is given, then I do nothing on myself. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, because in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I hope I'm getting to the right, yes, right scripture, that's verse 7 there. It says, but reject profane and old wives' fables. And look at the next part. It says, and exercise yourself rather to godliness. So grace has been given, but then there is something that we are called to do. We exercise ourselves. So there is that training, there is that stretching of ourselves, there is that exercise that we are called to do. And that is what you see in the life of a soldier. Although the soldier has been enabled, he's been given everything that he needs to fight his battles, but then he keeps himself fit, he exercises himself. He goes through different levels of training and maneuver just to make sure that he keeps fit to do what God has called him to do. For those maybe who have seen soldiers training, you will understand what I'm talking about. The closest I came to anything close to a training is, I remember in those days in Nigeria, if after you've graduated from school and university and all of that, and you're called to, you're meant to serve the nation for at least a year, and they take you on what they call the National Youth Service Corps, and you go out there, it's more like a little bit of training. They put you through some drills. You stay in a camp. You go on an endurance trekking for kilometers and miles. You walk just to see how strong you are. Early in the morning, the bugle sounds and you wake up and you all line up. You know, you go through all those drills. Discipline. You're exercising yourself. And this is what Paul is getting at here for Timothy. Yes, the grace of God has been given, but then we are called to do something about it. But he says the starting point for you as a soldier is to depend on the grace of God. Because without the grace of God, you are nothing. I am nothing. Without the grace of God, I can't go out there and defeat all the things that have been set up against me. The flesh, the world, the enemy of my soul. That's why we are called to always look up to the grace of God. And this will lead me to the second thing that I want us to understand this morning. Not just depending on the grace of God, but understand how weak you are. Understand how weak you are in yourself. I want you to paint this picture in your mind. A soldier has just been kitted up. He's got all his weapons and all the things, his communication gadgets. And then he looks at himself. He says, you know what? I've become very strong. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take off everything that I've got, and I'm going to go straight into the battle. Now, if he does that, we know what's going to happen. Because in reality, the soldier is weak in himself, but what enables him to do what he's doing is what has been given to him. And so when we think about the grace of God and understanding that we are called to depend on God's grace, we are also called to understand how weak we are. There can be no dependence without an understanding that I am weak, that I cannot fight these battles by myself, that without God sustaining me through life and through the challenges that will come in 2017, there is no way I can do it. In John chapter 15, verse 5, what did Jesus say to his disciples? This was Jesus towards the closing time, end of his ministry. And look at verse 5 of John chapter 15, what he said to them. He said, I am one of the great I ams that you have in scripture, the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, you see that relationship, bears much fruit. But then look at the closing part of it. For without me, you can do nothing. And when Jesus says nothing, it means nothing. And that shows us the picture again, the vine and the branches. That we are in him. And when we come into him, we take all the spiritual nourishment. That we depend on the grace of God. Everything that he's called us to, we are listening to him. We are walking with him. And that's why he says, without me, you can do nothing. And that tells us that this is the reason why sometimes God allows us to go through different situations or trials of our lives. And all it does is just to expose to us how weak we are. I don't know if there have been times in your life when you've actually felt you were strong. You could overcome. You could do things. And then you found yourself in a situation. All of a sudden, your weaknesses are exposed. You just discover that without God, I really can't do this. You begin to cry out in your spirit that God, sustain me. God, I need your grace. God, without you, I cannot get through. So I think that the first step really in understanding or towards spiritual victory is accepting as true for ourselves what God says about us in His Word. Because if I don't accept that without Him, I can do nothing, then it will be difficult for me to depend on Him. It will be difficult for me to fight and wage my war as a soldier if I'm still thinking there's a part of me that can handle it. There's a part of me that knows more than God. There's a part of me that can sustain it, that can sustain the walk or the battle through till the very end. That's why when you come to Peter, this is in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter was writing to them, and he was reminding them, I love the way Peter puts this in the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want you to look at some scriptures there, 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, and you see what he has to talk about God, because our God is a God of grace. 1 Peter 5, 10, he says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and then he says, settle you. But he calls God the God of all grace. You remember in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 16, that tells us that we are to come, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, to come to the throne. That's what he calls the throne of God, to the throne of grace. So that tells me that there is nothing in myself. The more I look at God and I see Him as the God of grace, the more I'm called as a Christian to come to His throne where I will receive grace and strength for the journey ahead of me, it constantly reminds me that without His grace, without me understanding how weak I am, I will never get the best that God have got in store for me as a Christian soldier. No wonder why James, in James chapter 4, verse 6, if you remember when James was writing, talking about humility and how God gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4 and verse 6. What does he say in James chapter 4 verse 6? He says, but he gives more grace. You see that? More grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Who is the proud? The proud is a man who thinks that he's sufficient in himself. The proud is a man who thinks that he can sustain his spiritual walk with God. Is the man who maybe have got no place for God in his life. But he says there, but he gives more grace. The man who comes to him daily, falls on his face and cries out to him and saying, without you, Lord, I am nothing. Without you, I can't stand here speaking. Without you, I can do ministry. Without you, I can't sustain my family. Without you, I can't sustain my health. You are the God of all grace. A great man of God, Oswald Chambers, in his writing, and I love the way he defined what he called grace. He called grace the overflowing favor of God. Think about that. The overflowing favor of God. And I think that's what it is. That God gives us favor, but then it is overflowing. Because we open up our hearts to Him, and we are crying out for more. And He gives us more, and more, and more for the work that He has called us to do. If there is anything that we are called to depend more in 2017, it will be the grace of God. Yes, you're a soldier, but without that grace, without understanding that you are weak in yourself, you may not get to the place or all that God have called you to receive from Him. And the third thing, which should be part of our understanding in our enablement. And this one is, I want to look at it from this camp, from the enemy's camp. And it's this, that Satan wants us to depend on ourselves and fight with worldly weapons. We've started with depending on God's grace. We've talked about understanding how weak we are. But then do you know, because in every battle there is an enemy. And Satan wants us to depend on ourselves and to fight with worldly weapons. He doesn't want us to depend on God's grace because he knows that it means defeat for him every single time. Not only does he want us to depend on ourselves, he wants us to depend on God's grace. Because sometimes you wonder, why is this tendency for us to always depend on ourselves? Why are our eyes going away from God? It's for one reason, because the enemy of our soul knows it. If I can get them, the Christian, to depend on themselves, if I can get the Christian to look away from God and the grace that comes from Him,
and to begin to depend on themselves and to also fight with worldly weapons, then the victory is assured for him. And that's why too many Christians are not taking their time to go back to the book of Ephesians to ask themselves the question, all the armor that Paul talks about, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, am I really getting into the Word of God? You know, we talk about Bible study in this church a lot, and we want more people to come and study the Word of God. We're not saying it because we want more attendance. All we are saying is that the more we gather together, the more that we are getting into the Scriptures, the more we are arming ourselves, the more we know what God says about us, the more we can see His promises, the more we can appropriate and apply them to our lives. Now, you might say, well, I do study it at home. Now, that is very good. But you know, there is something special when Christians come together, exchange views, talk about their struggles, share things that can strengthen one another in the faith. And that's why it's very important. In 2017, God is saying, yes, you're fighting, but remember there's an enemy who wants you to depend not just on yourself, but to fight your battles with worldly weapon. Remember Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when he was being tempted. Now, that was a temptation, we call it, but it was an attack. After he'd fasted, or he was going through the fast, the enemy came to him. But when I think about the victory of Jesus Christ, how he overcame, and I'm thinking, this is the Son of God. This is the one who didn't even need to do that, but he showed us a great example. The Bible says when Satan tempted him three times, what did Jesus Christ do? This is found in Matthew chapter 4, from verses 1 to 11. Maybe you can read it when you get home. Jesus Christ used the Word of God. It's been written. This is what has been said. Back to the enemy. And that's how we fight. That is how we wage our war. Not with worldly weapons, but the weapon that he gives us. If the enemy says something into your spirit, and this is a good question to test how prepared you are, is there any scripture in your heart that can counter what the enemy is saying to you? For instance, you're so discouraged and you're down and out and you don't even know. There's no sense of hope in your heart anymore. Is there any scripture that can come out of your heart that you can speak back and say, no, this is what the Bible says about hope, about courage, about being strong, about carrying on and not giving up? If sickness strikes and you're sick in your body, you can't even understand what is going on. Is there any scripture that can come to your heart that speaks into that situation? Your family, if something is going wrong in your family and you can see the enemy is waging a war against your family, is there something in scripture that can come into your spirit to fight? Now, if you can't locate any scripture or even know that there is a promise in scripture, then that is an indication that you need to get back into the Word of God. You need to be armed for the battle. It's like a soldier who is fighting, but he hasn't got anything to fight with. And the devil rejoices really, literally, when Christians don't know their Bibles. Then Christians don't even know what is written and said of them. And that's why Jesus, our Master and Savior, used the scriptures to defeat the enemy. If you remember another example of Moses in the scripture, Moses is a good example of a man who tried to fight the Lord's battle without using the Lord's weapons. God had already promised Abraham that your children will go into captivity. 400 years they will come out of Egypt. And then Moses, in his zeal for the Lord and trying to fight in his own time and weapons, the Bible said he saw an Egyptian and he grabbed him and killed the man and buried him in the sand. And after that, he fled into the wilderness. Now, was that the Lord's means of deliverance? That wasn't the Lord's means of deliverance. And then he had to stay another 40 years in the wilderness until the Lord had to appear to him and then called him and gave him the staff in his hand, his brother Aaron to go with him, and they went to Pharaoh. When they went, what did they say? Let my people go that they may serve me. And the Lord began to show signs and mighty wonders, and God's people were delivered. When they came to the Red Sea, what did Moses do? By then he had learned that it is the Lord's weapons. You don't fight. And the soldiers, we are coming behind them. And he looked at the people. And what did he say to them? Be still, for the Lord will fight for you this day. And the Bible said that God told him, stretch forth your rod. God could have told him, turn and speak to Pharaoh. But God didn't say that. He said, you stretch off your rod towards the river, the water, the sea. And the sea was divided. Moses was beginning to learn that you depend on God. You depend on God. He missed it at the first instance, but God is showing him that it is not going to be by your own weapon and the way you want to do it. And that is a call for the hour. That is the call that God is giving us, to depend not just on His grace, not on ourselves, but not to fight with worldly weapons. If you go to the book of 2 Timothy again, I'm just going to show you in the scripture we read. 2 Timothy, I want you to look at verses 3 as I close on that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 3. Because you might be wondering, yes, I understand that, but why is this grace so important? Look at verse 3. It says, you therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you can't find any reason to depend on the grace of God, please do, because you need to endure hardship. And do we go through hardship? The answer is yes. Do we go through trials and afflictions? The answer is yes. So if I'm going to go through hardship, maybe in 2017, I don't know the challenges that you will face in 2017, then that's why Paul is saying, be strong in the grace of God. Do not fight with your own weapons. Don't go out there in 2017 thinking it's your intellect, your mind, and all of that will sustain you in that battle. Understand that in times of hardship, you can endure it, but it begins with starting and understanding that there is a grace that sustains us. There is a great writer known as Paul Rader, and this is what he says about grace, and I love it. I had to put this down. And he says, manifold grace, talking about grace, he says, means that it is not just one blessing, but there are thousands to come, one after another. The joy that you have, he says, multiplies the joys to come. The victory you have in Christ multiplies the coming conquest. He says, if that truth doesn't help you understand, doesn't help you on the battlefield, he says, then we need to rediscover the power of the grace of God. And I think that he sums it up beautifully well for us. Multiple grace. It multiplies the joys to come in 2017. It multiplies the victories that I have in Christ Jesus. And it helps me on the battlefield. And if I don't understand that, then it means I have to go and rediscover what the grace of God means. As I was praying yesterday in my spirit, you know, God just, this illustration came to my mind, and I think that is a very important one. For those who are familiar with a lamp or a candle, and it's got a wick that you light on it, and you wonder, when you strike a match or light up the lamp or whatever it is, and it's got oil in it, or the whatever that helps it to burn, you notice that it keeps burning. But then, when the oil in the lamp, I remember this clearly in Nigeria, you know, because you've got these lamps that have got a glass tube, and then you open at the bottom and pour some oil in it that keeps it burning. Now, when it keeps burning, as long as the oil is in it, but once the oil runs out, the wick in the lamp begins to burn out. And you know, some Christians wonder, why are we burning out in the battle? Why is it that I'm finding it so difficult to sustain myself in the walk with God? That's because the oil is running out. The grace that enables you to shine and to withstand and to be a light maybe wherever you are is already running out. And God says to me in my spirit while I was praying about this, He says it's the same thing for the Christian. As long as there is oil, there is grace, there is anointing upon them, He says that the weak will never burn out. And that is a simple lesson for us all. And I think that is full values into my, for me as well, especially being in ministry, that I need to depend on Him. I need to come close to Him. The oil, the anointing of God, the grace of God, as long as it's there, sustaining and keeping me, I will never burn out. And in 2017, that is the call. That not only have you been enlisted, but also God has enabled you. And that enablement is through the grace of God and nothing but the grace of God. Shall we just bow our hearts as we come to Him this morning?
If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, why not join us in worship at the Dingle Mount Church or log on to our website at www.dinglemount.org for more information. Thank you for listening.